cliffcentral.com.
All right, Cindy, hang around because George is going to tell us about the world of motoring. How are you, George?
I'm good.
First of all,
Gareth,
how is Las Vegas?
Very good. This is probably the best trip I've had in 7 years.
Jesus, what did you do?
You know, when you enter an industry and you start building connections and you start building a network and you start getting to know, you know, the people in America, the visits just get better and better and better because.
Cool.
You just get introduced to things that you would never be introduced to 7 years ago the first time you go.
Do you go now and you actually recognize people and you see some of the same familiar faces? Mm.
We keep in contact the whole year.
That's brilliant.
First world country. And I mean, the one of the biggest reasons I go there is because they're doing stuff that we haven't done.
Okay.
It's that simple.
Give us some insight.
Podcasting.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, you've done that. You were on board there from the get-go.
No, I'm not saying we partner with you to do podcasting, but it's like podcasting.
Yeah.
You know, you go there, you see all of the stuff that they're doing, and gives you an idea of what to put into the recipe for the edge.
Are they all still super excited about electric cars and what do they call it? Autonomous driving and.
Yeah.
Still the rage, huh?
It's still the rage. I mean, you don't see it in the streets too much. I saw two or three Teslas every single day that I was there.
Okay.
On the streets. But, you know, maybe 20 or 30% of the time you'll see an electric car. Most of the cars are still gas powered.
Cindy, would you ever let a computer drive you around?
No, I think that's a little bit too far for me.
You wouldn't trust it?
No, I wouldn't trust it.
Okay.
I wouldn't trust an AI to do a whole bunch of stuff for me. I would not.
Okay.
I just think it's like, you know those futuristic movies that we've all seen?
iRobot.
It's like, all that stuff where we are controlled by.
Mm-hmm.
It
scares you.
Well, Elon Musk is on your side. He reckons we've got to be scared of this stuff.
No, but and he's a bright boy.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and he's the Tesla guy, so he knows what's cooking.
So, George, what can you share with us that you learned?
Well, that I learned over there was that the automotive industry suffers from the same challenges we suffer from. It's just at scale. It's just huge. You know, their market is... I think I'm going to start referring to South Africa as Little America.
Why?
The dynamics are just the same.
Okay.
The dynamics are just the same. We're just a state compared to... You know, within America,
yeah.
And you know, the thing I learned is that we mimic them more than you would imagine.
Oh, sure.
I think
totally agree. Let's talk music for a minute. I've always said, ever since the beginning of time, that South Africans want to be American. They copy the American style,
yeah.
Especially rap and hip hop and
well,
all
think
that
about
stuff.
It. Music, totally. Culture, it's
culture,
all
clothes,
movies. It's all infused
movies.
In what we
absolutely.
Do.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
All right.
So, I mean, there's challenges in South Africa that the Americans have sorted out. I mean, their data structures when it comes to building clever software, their underlying data structures are solid. So their governments collect proper data on cars. Their data is available to a business. If you wanted to buy that data, you can buy it and then build a business on top of it. For instance, you know, the VIN databases are freely available. History checks on cars are available. You can scan a license plate and you can get the details on a car. In South Africa, you can't get that. So those are the challenges that we've got to overcome.
Mm.
But it doesn't make our behavior any different. It doesn't make our needs and wants any different. So it's just we've got bigger challenges.
All right. Tell us what's in the news this week.
So the Nissan NP200, you know the...
No, I don't.
The Bucky?
I'm gonna have to look it up.
The Bucky?
The Nissan Bucky.
The Nissan Bucky.
Nissan NP200.
NP300.
Okay, let me have a look at this.
Oh,
yes, that one. Got you.
Yes. So
yeah,
that
there
one.
There we go.
That's the
good
one.
Good old solid Nissan Bucky.
Has failed its crash test.
Oh,
so
shit.
They're sending Nissan NP300 Buckies to Africa that have got a zero rating from the NCAP.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so this is quite a big story in that the agency that does the crash testing, the global NCAP, took a Nissan Navara and an NP300 and sent them hauling into each other at 56 kilometers an hour head on.
Mm-hmm.
And their report was that the occupants of the NP300 would die. Well, fatal.
Can I just say that if you're going to go at how many, 300 kilometers an hour?
No, no, 56 kilometers an hour.
Oh, it's not so fast.
Yeah, it's MP300.
Okay.
That's a bit weird.
All right, if you see one of those on the road, go into those because you'll survive. Yeah. They won't.
Oh, lovely.
I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Nissan's going to do something about this. But,
well, maybe. What are you going to do?
And then quite a big thing which has been kicking around for the last probably over a year is that, OEMs allow franchise dealers to service your car.
What's an OEM?
An original equipment manufacturer. So like BMW, Mercedes, VW, all of those guys. They give the license to the franchise dealership. The franchise dealership then services your car.
Right.
And if you take your car to a franchise dealership, your warranty remains intact and your service plan remains intact.
But if you go and have it meddled with by some corner shop panel beater, then you don't retain that certification.
Exactly. So now, recently, the Competitions Commission announced that it will put a plan in action that aims to level the playing field between OEMs, original equipment manufacturers, and independent service providers, which are non-OEM-based workshops.
I understand. Are we for or against this, George?
I'm on the fence. I think it depends on the level of, you know, certification that ISP has. So I think that there needs to be really strict rules around what boxes you need to tick.
How long do you think it'll be before a company, and this is a major gap in the market, some company deals directly with these OEMs and buys them from them and lists them on a website, and people can go and buy the parts themselves at cost or just a little bit of profit to the website, whatever it might be, and then they take the part to a mechanic and they say, put this in.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's about the part as much as it is about the certification of fitting that part.
But these guys always tell you, oh, we got to wait for 3 months for parts.
Well, that's if you're driving an imported car, yeah?
Well, can't we get this going here where you can buy the parts and then find someone who's able to install it properly?
Maybe in this case that will happen, because these independent service providers, if they're certified by the OEM as good technicians, maybe you can go buy the part and ask him to fit it.
I wouldn't let Bolelo put something in my car. I'd fucking die in an accident. But
God forbid.
Or Cindy Alter, for that matter. I know she's good with a microphone, but she's not so good with a spanner.
Not good with spanners.
No.
Not even good with a GPS, let me tell you.
What do you do when you break down on the side of the road? You call someone.
Thank goodness, I haven't yet, but I do call somebody.
Can you change
away.
A tire?
I can't, because I can't unloosen the nuts. Those bolts. What are they called? Are they nuts and bolts? What are they called? Those big fat nuts. What are they called?
This is just getting worse.
I'm sorry.
This is great.
Well, I'm not good at dismantling nuts, okay? So let's stop right there.
All right, George.
I was trying to think of synonyms
and they still don't work.
George, before Cindy and Sia start going crazy about nuts, let's move
on. Called wheel nuts.
They're called wheel nuts.
There you see, I was right.
You're right. They're called wheel nuts.
And can I ask something? I know I'm just like here, but talking about the certification thing and all that, so you can buy the part.
Yeah.
And then go to someone and anybody, not us.
Well, this is they're going to change it,
But if that person is certified, fine. Would that do anything about the warranty? Would that
Well, that's the whole debate, right?
So that's the question I have.
That's the whole debate.
And I'm just a man in the
street. Look at you getting stuck into this automotive conversation.
I'm
very
interested.
No, that's exactly right, because that's the whole debate. The OEMs don't want to honor the warranties outside of the franchise network,
right? But that's also because they want to keep the money in there.
Well, yes. I mean, it could be a combination of the profit and the level of service.
Of course.
So you could argue that six ways from Sunday.
Yes.
But the Competitions Commission is going to potentially rule on the ISPs almost forcing the OEMs to certify them so that your warranty doesn't get lost.
Mm.
So that's the whole debate that's going on at the moment.
I understand that.
And then driving a Lamborghini or a Range Rover or any expensive car for that matter, be careful if you get a recall call, because there's been incidents in South Africa now where you get a phone call and the person on the other end of the line says, there's something wrong with your car, the airbag's buggered, there's some electronic issue. Do not drive it. We're coming to fetch it. We're phoning you from the original equipment manufacturer. And
South Africa.
And they pitch up with a truck bed.
Flat bed truck.
They put your Lamborghini on the back of the flat bed and make you sign a bunch of fraudulent papers, and they drive off with your Lamborghini.
And you never see it again.
No. You never see it again. And a day later, you phone to say, how far is my car and what car? What are you talking about?
That happens to people.
It's happening to people.
Oh, my God.
So be careful. OEMs won't phone you up and then suddenly come and fetch your car. If you do get a phone call, phone another dealership from another province and confirm that this problem does exist.
I'm always amazed at the level of fraud that can be committed.
The creativity.
If they'd use that creativity to positive
for good,
end,
yes. Mm.
Can you imagine how amazing this country would be? For example,
no, we just our exactly. lights just went off. Don't worry, the generator kicks in.
No, it's fine. I'm just laughing at the irony of it.
Yeah, like if the Eskom people were instead of being crooks,
if they
turned that genius for thieving
absolutely
into a genius for maintenance.
100%.
Exactly.
We have so much power.
Everything on. Well, let's go there. But anyway, yeah, there'll be a lot of power.
I read. I don't know the details of this, but I believe Cape Town is contracting with an independent party to get electricity.
I don't blame them. Mm. I think Johannesburg should be doing it, but
so that they can get off Eskom.
Yeah. Yeah. We should all get off.
Of course we should.
Go off grid.
We should all go off Eskom. Anything to do with state-owned,
yeah, it's
we
a
should
disaster.
Get the hell out of right. there.
Well, talking about things that should stay off the motoring grid, your kids. So two kids in America stole two Lamborghinis, a black one and a white one, broke the front window of a dealership, stole these two Lamborghinis and went on a joyride. So the cops saw these three cars, two Lamborghinis and then...
How old are these kids?
They were in their teens, mid-teens.
But remember they get their license at like 15?
No, they didn't have licenses, these guys.
But you've got some kind of chutzpah to steal Lamborghinis.
They stole two Lamborghini Urusus, you know, the SUV. And they went on a joyride, and cops saw these three cars. Obviously, they were in the original car, which was a little runabout. And the cops decided to stop the little car, not the two Lamborghinis. Found that the kids driving the getaway car didn't have licenses either. And the two Lamborghinis sped away, but they then crashed into each other.
That's really stupid. That is really stupid.
And so they got busted.
Oh, my God.
And then Elon Musk takes a dig at Bill Gates because Bill Gates bought a Porsche Taycan, you know, the fully electric Porsche Taycan.
Oh, yes.
So Bill Gates bought a Porsche Taycan.
Well, let him have what he wants. He's got lots of money.
He's allowed. Bill's allowed.
And what is Elon's problem with him?
So Gates told a YouTube reviewer in an interview that he's purchased his first ever SUV, first ever EV Porsche Taycan, and he called the car very, very cool. And he also said that that Tesla is leading the market. And so Elon got upset with this and tweeted, I'm disappointed because a lot of people are going to watch the interview and they're going to trust Bill's word for it and even consider EVs. Why? Because Bill is a really smart guy and he's told the press that EVs haven't reached the ranges that they can get to yet, which is what Elon was upset about because the Teslas do have range.
Hmm. So it's basically, this is a billionaire fight. We have nothing to do with
it. Exactly. All right. Talking about the Porsche Taycan, and very lastly, a Porsche Taycan in Florida, US, caught on fire in a garage.
Yes, but that's because the people were making a fire in the garage.
Probably.
More than likely. So it's not only Teslas that catch fire.
Oh, yeah. My God. How do you spell Taycan?
T-A-Y-C-A-N.
Okay.
Yeah, stupid name. Taycan. They come up with such stupid names for these cars.
Like Cayenne.
Yeah.
Cheyenne.
They give them these Native American names.
Or a Cayenne.
And apparently Pajero is like wanker.
Is it?
Yeah. CliffCentral.com.